Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." All of Matthew 28. Thank you, Father, once again, for the wonderful and the blessed privilege and opportunity you've given us to be a part of your family. Father, in your eternal love, grace, and mercy, Lord, you brought us off the road headed to destruction onto the road to eternal life. You saved us and made us a part of your family and put us in your army as well. And what a privilege it is for us to be involved in the work of helping others to come to know Christ and to grow up in their faith as well. Lord, set us on fire afresh with the Spirit that we would be passionate about doing the work of evangelism and discipleship any and everywhere you've called us to do it. And help us daily and faithfully to be about your business. Lord, we need your help. We need your Spirit. We need your grace. Lord, empower us to be and do all that you've called us to be and do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Great Commission. And thank you so much for the promise that you will be with us always to the very end of the age. Heavenly Father, help us to spend time meditating on that reality of realizing that you are present, that you empower us, that you sustain us, that you send us out. And so Heavenly Father, thank you so much for showing us how much you really love us and help us to overflow with that love to all of our neighbors. In your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. You know, one of the encouragements that we want to encourage every single listener about is Of course, we're called to be a people who live lives given to prayer. And I want to encourage you, if you're not already doing this, two prayers in particular that are prayers that help us to become more actively used by the Holy Spirit to do the work of evangelism and discipleship. The prayer of Jabez and the prayer of Isaiah. Both of those prayers are found in the prayer tool that we call Kingdom Prayers, a prayer tool that is a blog that we've written that we've compiled about 12 Bible-based prayers, or 12 prayers that can be drawn from Scripture that help us to pray to build the kingdom of God. But daily, praying the prayer of Jabez over yourself and over your ministry, whatever you're called to do, that's a challenge I would lay before every single listener, because that's a prayer. When you pray the prayer of Jabez, every day you pray it, God is going to answer it, and he's going to use you more and more to do his work and his will as you listen to him and obey him. And the prayer of Isaiah as well, that too is found. Again, the prayer of Jabez is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And the prayer of Isaiah is found in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. And so both of them are prayers from where we're basically asking God to use us more and more. And my encouragement is that you would be someone who's doing just that, asking God to use you more and more for the work of the building of his kingdom. Briefly, I want to share an article, and then we will be introducing our phone guest today. An article, as we often do, share discipleship articles that we encourage you to email us to get copies of for your own personal walk with the Lord. Also, a tool to use in the discipling of your family, and a tool to forward and share with fellow church members, maybe family members, saved and unsaved individuals as well. This article is entitled, "The Tragedy of Prayerlessness." Again, the tragedy of prayerlessness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 tells us, "Pray without ceasing." And then 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, "As for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you, and I will continue to teach you what is good and right." Again, 1 Samuel 12, 23. And then James chapter 4, verse 2, "You do not have because you do not ask." Again, James 4, 2. Prayer is talking with and listening to God. Prayer is seeking God. Prayer is worshiping and praising God. Prayer is giving thanks to God. Prayer is all of these activities and much more. We need to broaden and expand our definition and understanding of prayer and what it truly is. It can be said that prayer is our intimate walk with God. No one prayed more than Jesus did in his earthly life, and his whole life was a prayer. We're called to imitate Christ. So like Christ, we should strive to live so that our whole life is a prayer, our intimate walk with God. Prayer is to be a major priority for the church. Individually and collectively, we're to live lives given to prayer. The church itself is to be called a house of prayer. How tragic it is when we fall short in our calling and obligations to pray. When we don't pray as we should, we miss blessings that God very much wanted us to have. Did you or I miss one or more blessings today because we did not pray for certain things? Again, James chapter 4, verse 2, you do not have because you do not ask. Then in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, it tells us, "Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, 'Because I bore him in pain.' Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, 'Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain.' And God granted what he asked." Again, 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 and 10. Jabez received some unique blessings from the Lord. He made four requests from the Lord, and God gave him all four requests. Why? Jabez was wise enough to ask for them. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 tell us, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." Again, Matthew 7, verses 7 to 8. Sometimes help or deliverance may not come because the people of God were not praying as they ought to have been praying in a given situation. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, it tells us, and I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land. But I found none. Again, Ezekiel 22:30. In Ezekiel, we see that God was looking for intercessors who would pray for the land so the judgment might be avoided. But he didn't find a single prayer warrior who was praying for Israel in that situation. So judgment came upon the nation. Also, prayerlessness by the people of God can result in followers of Christ becoming spiritually dull. In other words, when the people of God neglect praying, we are not as spiritually alert as we should be. We're not as sensitive to the voice and the actions of the Holy Spirit as we should be. Finally, when people of God don't pray as we should, we can miss what God is saying or doing in a given season or circumstance. Whereas, on the other hand, living a prayer-filled life can help followers of the Lord to be very sensitive and alert to God and the things of God. In Matthew chapter 2, we see that the wise men came from the east looking for the King of the Jews. It's apparent that the wise men knew God, listened to God, and were very sensitive to him. The wise men saw the star and knew what it meant. Apparently, they were men of prayer, and the Spirit of God had let them know a number of important truths that many other persons of that time didn't catch or didn't learn. They saw the star as probably anyone else during that time could as they looked up into the sky. Yet because the wise men were close to God and listening to him, they knew what the star meant. They knew that it was pointing them to the King of the Jews, the Messiah. So again, it was an indication that they were people of prayer. Sadly, people who they talked to and interacted with in Jerusalem could see the star too, yet the scripture does not say that a single person followed them to go and find the Messiah. How tragic it is that it seems that so many in Israel were spiritually insensitive to what God was doing at that point in time and in that season. Now, Simeon and Anna in Luke chapter 2, who were people of prayer, they didn't miss their Messiah. They both saw and recognized him and were excited to see him. Why? Again, a prayer-filled life helps you to hear the Holy Spirit's voice more clearly and sense him at work more so than if we didn't have a prayer-filled life. Israel had been looking for their Messiah for centuries, yet sadly, it seems that many in Israel missed him when he came. Prayerlessness can cause each of us to miss out on so much in life. Please don't allow prayerlessness to define your life and your prayer life. Again, the title of that article, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Again, where our encouragement is that you'd get it so that you'll have it for your personal use as a discipleship tool, but a tool also to use in the discipling of your family, a tool to forward and share by way of email with, again, fellow church members, family members, persons you may work with or others, again, saved or even unsaved persons as well. But remember, by way of email, we can do a lot of discipleship work as we use it wisely. Lord, thank you for all those that are part of our listening family. And thank you, Lord, for each and every one of all of our prayer lives. Thank you for the prayer lives of all those we've prayed for today. Father, bless each one of us and each of our prayer lives this day. Indeed, expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mighty upon them. Keep them from evil that they may not cause pain. Father, set our prayer lives on fire in a mighty, mighty, mighty way. More and more empower us to be the praying church you've called us to be, and help us to recognize, Lord, that so much of the work of the building of your kingdom happens on our knees as we live lives given to prayer. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, the title of that article, The Tragedy of Prayerlessness. We'll be right back.
Consume my heart with your love. captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love.
You have captured my heart,
consumed
my heart with your love.
Say
you have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love.
Say it like you mean it. Timothy, say
you have captured
my heart,
consumed
my heart,
with your love.
One more time, say
you have captured my heart, consumed my heart with your love.
And if all I say is
music of Dunson Oyekan with If All I Say Is Jesus. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. Ray Noah. Once again, it's a privilege to have him back with us. He's the president of the Petrus Network, a church planting ministry. Dr. Ray, how are you today?
I'm doing very well today. Thank you.
Great to have you. And I'm going to ask as we begin, a number of our listeners, a good many of them may have heard the times we've had you on before, but some may have missed it. So if you'll take time to further reintroduce yourself and tell them about the work, the great work and mission of the Petrus Network ministry as well.
Yeah, sure. Well, I spent over 40 years being a pastor, so that's my background. And along the way in that work, I got involved in planting churches or training and sending out church planters in rural, unreached Ethiopia. And I did that with a mentor of mine, and we planted a lot of churches that began to see a lot of people come into the kingdom, and it was the signs and wonders and miracles kind of an experience. And it just really dislocated my heart for missions and for reaching the unreached. And so after 42 years in pastoral ministry, I turned the church over to a younger pastor, and I went full-time in this ministry, this mission that we had set up here in the United States to equip church planters mostly in rural East Africa. And so I've been doing that now for about 4 years, and in the full time anyway, and in the 12 or 13 years that we've been leading Petrus Network. So I did it while I was in the church and then went full time. We have planted almost 9,000 churches in rural unreached villages in Ethiopia, Uganda, South Sudan, Kenya, Djibouti. Now there's one in Yemen, and it shows no signs of slowing down. We've preached the gospel. Our church planters count how many people they preach to, and they preach the gospel to 11 million people. And we've seen 1.8 million people, 1,860,000 people have confessed Christ as their Lord and their Savior, and they're in those churches being discipled. And so it's just been amazing to be a part of something. I didn't know that it would be this fruitful, but God has blessed us, and we feel living out the book of Acts in real time. And so what a delight and humbling to be a part of what God is doing around the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, praise God. It's powerful to hear you describe and share about the work and the mission of Petrus Network. Would you take time now to pray for our listening audience to have the ears to hear all the Lord wants to say to them through the broadcast as they listen in today?
Absolutely. Well, Father, there is nothing more important that you have called us to than to proclaim your glory to all the nations, all the people in the world. And Lord, we want to be about that business. You have empowered us to do that. You have commissioned us to do that. You're with us as we do that. And as we go, as the conduit, as the vehicle, you show up and you do what only you can do through human beings like me and Pastor Parker and others who are taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would inspire us, fire our hearts. Lord, would you fill us again with the Holy Spirit for the for the primary purpose of taking the gospel as a witness to the ends of the earth, Lord, that is the business that we're to be about. And there are other things in our lives that we're concerned with, that you are concerned with as well. You're there for us in the mundane daily things that we are concerned with, but you've called us to a greater purpose as well, and that is to proclaim your name throughout the earth. And so, Lord, would you just remind us today and empower us to do just that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, to thank you for the opportunity you give us as the church of being involved in the wonderful work of discipleship and multiplying and developing the church further and further. Lord, do a perfect work in all of our hearts in such a way that more and more each of us will come to grow an understanding of the particular part each one of us plays in carrying that work out. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see what you want us to hear and do. And help us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word and that which you're calling us to do. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, Dr. Ray, as you share about what you do now, you know, your life sounds a little bit kind of like the life of a Christian Indiana Jones as you travel and do what you do in all the nations where you are. Well, for someone listening who's thinking to themselves, well, I go to church and I serve God in church and I take care of my family. I do my job. How would you challenge and encourage a listener who might be in that position to be involved in the work of both discipleship and the work of helping to plant churches throughout the world? How would you challenge them to get involved or be supportive of this same kind of work?
Well, I'll speak from my own experience. I grew up in the church, and I began to read the Bible, and I really began to read the Bible seriously when I was 15 years old. And I got so inspired by the whole Bible, by the whole story of the Bible, that I read it through four times as a 15-year-old, four times in 1 year, and it just changed my life. And, you know, what I read about, especially in the book of Acts, the believers that were filled with the Spirit and they began to go with the gospel and the growth of the church, the expansion of the kingdom, the opposition that they faced, the miracles that showed up to attend the preaching of the gospel, really excited me. And I thought, you know, I don't want to just live an ordinary Christian life in my own context. I want to see book of Acts-like things happen in my life and through my life. And so, you know, I just begin to pray big prayers. You know, quoted the prayer of Jabez, and it says, mm-hmm. The Lord answered him. He wanted to expand his territory. One of my favorite verses is in 2 Chronicles 16:9, where it says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the whole earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." And I thought, wow, I want to be one of those people that the Lord's eyes fall upon and have this heart that's fully devoted to him and fully passionate about his mission. And I want God to work through me with those kind of things that I read about in the Bible. So I just think praying big prayers, and, you know, we're not all going to do the same thing. We're not all going to be, you know, go to Africa like I am. But, you know, Martin Luther said we're each called to be a missionary to our neighbor. And when we step out with the gospel, I just happen to believe that these supernatural things and supernatural fruit will come to us as we go with the gospel. So, you know, I just would encourage people listening to this just to pray big prayers. You know, ask God for big things. What do you dare to dream that God might use you to do? You know, one of those big prayers I prayed, and now I think it's happening, but it sounds a little bit egotistical, I guess, to pray this prayer, but I said, God, would you make me the greatest conduit for the completion of the Great Commission the world has ever seen? Nah, I don't do that. I didn't say that because I'm so great. I'm so talented. I just think God's great, and he's honored when people dare to ask and pray big prayers. And so I would just encourage people to really start praying that way. God, what do you want to do through me? Mm-hmm. And you know, Paul says in Ephesians 3:20, says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we not only ask, but even what we think, what we dream about. So I think there's no limit to what God can do through anyone that will willingly pray those prayers and be ready to step out to do what God chose him to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you share with us, Dr. Raitt, maybe stories that help illustrate why a ministry like Petrus Network is so important and how God is working through the ministry to set up new churches on a consistent basis. Would you share stories or testimonies that come to mind?
Sure. Well, you know, Petrus Network is exactly what I just said. It's a network. And so it's not just about Ray Noah and his team going to these places. It's about partnering with people in America who will enable us to take the gospel and equip church planters and then to send them out to reach the unreached. I had an older couple in my church at Portland when I was still pastoring there. And they decided to sponsor one of the church plants. They didn't have a lot of money. He had been a pastor, back in years past. He had pastored small rural churches in a couple of different states. And they ended up retired in my church. And they sat in the back row. They weren't super active. They weren't really visible. I knew who they were. But anyway, so they cobbled together a few thousand dollars to plant a church. And we hooked them up. We connected them to a specific church planter. Well, fast forward about 10 years after that, I'm in Ethiopia. I've been invited to meet the new superintendent or the new general secretary of one of the Ethiopian denominations. And I said, sure, I'd love to meet the guy. And so he shows up at my hotel. We're kind of in between church planting training conferences. And this guy comes in, and he's just tall, handsome, you know, really sharp African man. And he sticks out his hand. He introduces himself to me, and he says, I'm the new general secretary of my denomination. And then he said, I'm missionary number 357, church planter number 357 of Petrus Network. And I had no idea that he had graduated from our program. He told me he had gone out, he had planted a church, and it went well, and he planted three more churches, and then he was invited to be elected to be the bishop of his denomination. Mm-hmm. And during his time as the head of the organization, they had planted over 1,000 new churches. They'd witnessed mm-hmm. to over 1 million people. Mm-hmm. And he was equipping his constituents or his church members mm-hmm. To go out and to evangelize. And he said, I learned this all from you. I was inspired by Petrus Network. And I took what you taught and I went out and I did it. And he said, when I first came to the church planter training conference, I was given a Bible, a study Bible that had been sponsored by the people that had sponsored me. And I haven't forgotten them. And I still have that Bible, and it was all tattered and, you know, just about worn out. But anyway, I came back home and I went to this older couple. The man is now on his deathbed. And he knew he was dying and I knew he was dying. So I took in my communion set and we did a final communion with him. But I said, I want to tell you, you don't know this. You had no idea that this was going on, but you and your wife and what you invested has literally reaped a harvest of thousands of new churches and millions of new believers and hundreds of thousands of people that have heard Jesus for the first time. And you're going to be in heaven in just a short while. And when you get there, people are going to be coming up to you, thanking you for what you did, that act of faith of planting the seed. And throughout eternity, people are going to be coming up and saying, thank you for being obedient to the Lord. And, you know, as I was telling him this story, he could barely lift his hands. He was bedridden. He was conscious, but he couldn't talk. But I heard him begin to weep, and he began to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mm-hmm. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a privilege this has been. So, ordinary mm-hmm. people who are willing to step out and invest, whether it's going, whether it's sharing, whether it's giving, whether it's praying for something, can have extraordinary fruit and an amazing effect mm. in advancing the kingdom of God.
Mm.
I'm inspired by that. I see that. There's dozens of stories of people like that. And you know what? You just step out and then you let God do the rest.
Mm. Would you pray for listeners to really learn from that powerful testimony you just shared in that, like, we build a kingdom one seed at a time, one seed of obedience mm-hmm. at a time. Would you pray for listeners to learn from that and to take the truth yes. behind that and walk them out?
Absolutely. So, Father, I think of the little boy that had the loaves of bread and a few fish, and he gave what he had, but he put it in your hands, and then you did the rest. The miracle of the feeding, 5,000 people with food left over, Lord, that is just, that's there not just to inspire us about what miracles Jesus did, but it's to inspire us to put whatever we have, what little we have, into your hands. When you call us to use what we have, you take our little and you produce much out of it. And I would just pray for people listening to this, and it may mean different things for different people. What do they have? Maybe they just have some money to give to a missionary or to missions. Maybe it's an open door to share the good news with a family member or a person at work or a neighbor. Maybe it's to take on a ministry in their church, or it's to go out on an outreach. But whatever that little bitty thing is, I pray that you would inspire us, you would call us to give it to you, and then watch what you do. So, Lord, whoever's listening, I pray that you would penetrate their heart, convict their heart, embolden them to take a step, to take a risk, and then watch what you do. And you'll get the glory for it, but we get the joy of being used of you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, Father, to thank you, and I praise you for every seed of obedience from any and every one of your children as we simply hear your word and obey it. Each act of obedience is a seed in itself that you can use to do exploits. Help us to be an obedient people that seek to be used of you every day. We thank you and praise you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our phone guest is Dr. Ray Noah, the president of Petrus Network. We'll be right back. Of Jennifer Meikle with Great God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Dr. Ray Noah. He's the president of Petrus Network, a powerful ministry that God is using to help further expand his church in different nations of the world. Dr. Ray, again, that was a very powerful testimony that you share. One more time, if someone wants to get in touch with you to learn more about Petrus Network, or maybe wants to plug in and get involved in the work of helping to plant churches, how could they do that?
Yeah, our website is www.petros, P-E-T-R-O-S, network, one word, petrosnetwork.org. And on the website, they can find ways to give to the ministry, to sponsor a church, to go on a trip even, or to sign up for a newsletter where we just kind of feed stories out pretty regularly. Pastor Parker, we have 40,000 stories mm-hmm. in our archives. Mm-hmm. In these 10, 12 years or so that we've been doing this. And so we have a lot of stories to inspire people. Just go onto our website, sign up. There's a lot of different ways to sign up to get involved or to be informed, and we would be happy to reach out to anyone who wants to do any of those things I mentioned, either to give or to go with us or just to get stories or to pray. Boy, we need people praying with us because we're on the front lines. We go to dark places, difficult mm-hmm. places, and so we need a lot of people praying for us.
Okay. Well, would you share another testimonial that helps further illustrate the work and the mission of Petrus Network?
Yeah, well, let me just preface that by saying, you know, and it's interesting in your life as you study the Word of God, how things come to you, you know, fresh revelation comes to you. And one of the things that inspired me is that when you get to the end of the book of Acts, which is full of signs and wonders and miracles and healings and deliverances and even the raising of the dead, but when you get to the book of end of the book of Acts, it doesn't say the end. It just quits. It just stops. It just drops off. Mm-hmm. And as I thought about that, and I think the Lord spoke to me, said, I did that purposely because the Acts of the Holy Spirit through disciples is still happening today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my life, through my ministry, I want to be a part of that continuing story, Acts 29. You know, there is no Acts 29, but we are writing Acts 29 as we step out and allow God to use us. But yeah, here's this was a story that just happened a year ago. The guy, the church planter in Uganda, his name is David, a very sharp young man. He's still on our program. We have a program for 3 years where we partner with them to sponsor them, to send them out, to train them. Well, he went out and he had been called after. He wasn't leading anyone to Christ. The village was pretty closed off to him. But he got word that there was a family that needed prayer for one of their children. And so he was invited in. They'd spent money on witch doctors and traditional medicines, and, you know, nothing happened. The child didn't get any better. And so David went to this house. He was invited in. He went into the house, and he prayed for this boy. And the boy got healed, instantaneously healed. And so through that, he connected to that family. Well, it wasn't but a few days later that one of their children was killed, and they asked David to do the service, the funeral for this boy. And so he had gathered with the family, and they were doing the funeral. Well, in the meantime, back home, this family had a 5-year-old girl that passed away. She had an epileptic seizure. They thought the way they described it was a spirited attack or a demon attacked her. But anyway, whatever the case, she passed away. And the family, the people that were watching her while the funeral was going on, brought her body to the funeral and handed her to David. And family's weeping. They're all, you know, very, very distraught and sad and wailing. And so David took this little 5-year-old girl in his arms, and he began to pray. He began to pray that God would heal her, raise her up. He prayed. I said, "How long did you pray?" He said, "I prayed for 15 minutes, and then I noticed her body was growing warmer." Mm-hmm. He said, "So I continued to pray. I prayed for another 15 minutes, and then she began to cry, and she came back to life. And I handed her to her mother." Well, I'm thinking, how long would you pray for someone who had died before you just went, "Well, this is not going to work"? But he persisted for a half hour. And by the way, we've had stories of people raising the dead that prayed for 5 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours before the body came back to life. So those stories are pretty common. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this girl came back to life, and obviously, you know, the community heard about it. And I said, "Well, how many people came to know Jesus through that miracle?" He said, "On that day, 72 adults and 56 children gave their hearts to Jesus." And in that moment, in that miracle, we had a church that was born. Over, I think, 120 people or so were born into the kingdom and became a part of the church and began the discipleship process through that one miracle.
Mm, powerful story. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
So now I want to ask you this, Dr. Ray. This is a question that sometimes, like when you share miracle stories like that happen in other nations, sometimes people in the U.S. may say, "Well, why doesn't that happen here?"
Right.
How would you respond to that question?
Man, I get that question all the time. They hear the healings and the deliverances and the, you know, even raising of the dead. Why doesn't that happen here? Well, I don't know for sure, because first of all, God is sovereign. God can do miracles whenever he wants, wherever he wants, through whomever he wants. So that's within his realm to send those miracles to the people that are stepping out and believing for them. But what I do know is that your opportunity or your chance to experience a miracle in your life or through your life is greatly increased when you go with the gospel, when you take the gospel to the lost. Mark 16, Jesus said, "Go to the whole world and proclaim the good news." And he said, you know, when people believe the message, they'll be saved. When they reject the message, they're not going to be saved. They're going to be condemned. And then he said this, and these signs will accompany those who believe. They'll drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll pick up snakes with their hands. They'll drink deadly poison and won't hurt them. And they will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Mm-hmm. So here is one instance in the Word where we find miracles attached to going with the gospel. And so I just tell people, look, you go with the gospel. You take the gospel to places where it's dark, where people don't know, or maybe even people are hostile. You begin to share the best way you know how through the power of the Holy Spirit, the good news of Jesus Christ, and you have a greater likelihood that you'll see those kind of miracles happen when you do that.
That is so powerful. Praise God for that. Father, thank you, Lord, for that example, but thank you, Lord, for the fact that you're a God that does those things every day in the world, as your church simply is about the work of carrying the gospel and doing the work of making disciples. Lord, help us to be mindful of the fact that you said in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, as Dr. Ray mentioned, these signs shall follow them that believe, and help us to know, Lord, that you can take any believing vessel and do exploits as we simply obey you and trust you. Help us to live a lifestyle of doing just that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen.
Our time is almost gone. Do you have maybe just one more short testimony you can share before our time runs out?
Well, you'll have to cut me off if I go too long. But yeah, we sent a church planter into a Muslim village and was having no success and, you know, preaching the gospel and people coming to Christ. And one night, In their prayer service, the Muslim prayer service in their mosque, there were 600 people there. And they all had, at the same time, they had a vision of Jesus. They didn't say it was a vision. They said Jesus showed up. They all saw Jesus in that moment, in that service. And he revealed himself to them. And when we hear these stories of Jesus revealing himself to people, he always sends them to his people, the Christians. And so Jesus said, go talk to the church planter. And they came and they said, tell us about this Jesus. We all saw him. And so he shared a full presentation of the gospel. And guess what happened? 600 people received Jesus in that moment. And a church was born. 600 Muslims. People from Muslim background saw Jesus. God. They said they saw him. They didn't say it was a vision. They said, we saw him. Mm-hmm. And they went to the church planter, the missionary, and they asked, and he told them, and they became believers. Mm-hmm. And that, by the way, that story is not unique around the world. Things like that are happening, and we've experienced that several times through Petros Network.
Mm. And you know, Dr. Ray, one thing that comes to my mind is that believers, I believe, we're wise to really have a longing to say, Lord, I want to work with you, follow you, and see these kinds of things happen around me as well. And I think we should want to see the hand of God move in ways like that. But a key is be about the work he's called the church to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Simply. Yes. You know, Jesus said in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, you know, you're to go into all the world and you are to make disciples. Mm-hmm. He says, teach people to obey everything I've commanded, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he made this promise in verse 20. Mm-hmm. He says, and I will be with you even to the end of the age. And so when we go with the gospel, Jesus goes with us. He goes before us. He stays after we're gone, but Jesus goes with us. And when Jesus is there with you, boy, some amazing things will happen.
Amen. Amen. One more time, share the website and contact information.
Yeah. Petros Network. That's Petros Network. It's all one word, www.petrosnetwork.org. And we would love to talk with you in any way in anything you're interested in that we might be doing.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for Dr. Ray. Thank you for his staff. Thank you for the ministry of Petros Network, and thank you for how that your Holy Spirit is moving mightily through this ministry to help set the church on fire and to build the church further. Father, more and more, We pray specifically for Dr. Ray and his staff. Father, bless he, each staff member, and the ministry as a whole. Indeed, expand their territory. Cause your hand to be mighty upon them. Keep them from evil, that they may not cause pain. And Lord, I pray that many listeners would simply obey whatever you're calling them to do, whether it be to become prayer warriors for Petrus Network, to become persons who give financially, or persons who decide, I'm going to plug in and go on a trip with them, but help us to listen and obey whatever your calling is to do in support and working with the ministry of Petrus Network. And Lord, for some, you may be simply calling them to do the same thing in their home community. Empower them to be an obedient people. Thank you for the honor, the privilege, and blessing of being vessels through which you can reach to touch and draw people off the road to hell onto the road to heaven. Thank you for that opportunity. Help us to faithfully be about your business every single day. We thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us now and commit your life to the Lord and be saved? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Lord, for doing that so much. Father, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from the wrong I've done. Lord, forgive me for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us so we can share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. And as we've already mentioned, please do pray much for great work that Dr. Ray Noah and his staff with Petrus Network is doing. Pray much for the ministry of Petrus Network as they continue to build the kingdom of God in the world. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.